Good morning, everybody. If you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. And we're going to read into Matthew 20. So Matthew 19, and we are going to start at verse 16 with the rich young ruler. Okay, so Matthew 19:16. And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Then Peter said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that you have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne. You also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last first." So we'll continue to Matthew 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." And so they went. Again, he went about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day long?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wage, beginning with the last group to the first." When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous?" So the last shall be first, and the first last. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we just want to offer you our time and our minds, and we just pray that you would help us to really receive whatever you can teach us in this these verses today, Lord, and that they would just pierce us and convict us and move us in action, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So at Matthew 19, when it starts with the rich young ruler, he asked the question, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And Jesus responds and gives him the answer. And he says, "If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." But interestingly, before he answers that direct question, he addresses the question, or he addresses what is good. And he says, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good." It's kind of a little confusing, that statement. It's like, what is good? There's only one who is good. And I think he's addressing the rich young ruler's type of question, and what Jesus is trying to point to is says, actually, I mean, there's nothing wrong with this question, really, but the focus needs to be on the one who is good, right? It needs to be on the Father. And oftentimes, we do the same thing, right? We ask those questions as well. And there's nothing wrong with those questions. We ask questions like, oh, God, which job should I take? What do I need to do to get this job? Help me, God. Or, who should I date? Should I date this person or not? Or should I date this person? And oftentimes, the reason we ask those questions is because we fear, right? We don't want to make mistakes. We want our process and our decisions we make to be as simple and as smooth as possible, which is okay, right? Because you see, Jesus still gives him the answer. But behind all those questions, we need to remember who is the truly good one, right? And maybe a better question to ask rather than teacher, or I guess for us, we would say, Jesus, what do I need to do to attain this or that, or give me the answer to this, would be simply to say, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may please you, right? Oftentimes we forget our life that we have, especially this approaching Sunday with baptism, we often forget the life that we have is not really ours anyway. So, and oftentimes we forget to ask the question, for instance, job, dating, it's like, will this be pleasing to you? Will it be pleasing to you? And as long as our heart is in the right place, then all those other questions are okay as well. Because, of course, as a good father, he wants those things. He wants to give you those answers in life. But as long as you recognize who is the good one, and that's the Father. So Jesus gives the answer, if you wish to receive eternal life, keep my commandments. And then he asks, well, which one? Jesus lists out the ones. And then the rich young ruler says, I've kept all of them. So initially when I heard that, I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. Why would he ask which command I should take when he's already fulfilling them all? And I'm like, oh, he's tricky. He must be looking for compliments. But then I thought that would be kind of a weird way to go about it if afterwards he still replies, what am I still lacking? Because at that point, if he's like, oh, great, I'm keeping all of them, I think he would just walk away and be really happy, right? But he recognized there's still something lacking. So it's not just, there must be more laws than that. And at that time, there's the Talmud, and there's all these, it's like the oral law, and they've developed all these ways to go about following the law. So even for like the Sabbath, there's all these rules, right? So that's why Jesus, I guess, listed these main ones. And at that point, he says, yeah, I follow them, but there's something still missing in his heart. And he confronts it. He says, what am I still lacking? I'm still, even though I'm following those laws, I'm still lacking something. And Jesus challenges him, sell your possessions. And the young man went away, really sad. And the disciples' reaction to that is astonishment. Because this guy, he did all. He was serving, if I'm just to bring it to like SP level. He's serving, you know, he's doing all these things. And at that point, they're like, what? Even he can't enter? Then who can, right? And I think the best example I could think of, it'd be, because we don't know the rich young ruler, so there isn't like that like shock of like, oh, even he can't get in. So I thought of, for us, who would we really relate to? Pastor Sam. I was thinking, oh, if Pastor Sam approached Jesus and said, Jesus, what can I do to attain eternal life? And then keep my commandments. It's like, okay, what, or do my will. And then Pastor Sam says, okay, what will do you want me to do? And Jesus says, okay, I want you to prophesy. I want you to do church plants. I want you to teach discipleships, grow in Christ, e.g., do premarital. He lists a whole slew of things that a pastor does. And Pastor Sam says, I've done that. I'm following your will. And then, but I'm still lacking something. And then this is totally hypothetical. And then Jesus says, Pastor Sam, okay, well, what I want you to do is I want you to give up playing basketball and watching the NBA. Or stop eating steak. And then Pastor Sam's really sad and walks away. And at that point, we're like, what? Even Pastor Sam, who does all this stuff for the church? What chance do we have? Right? So that's kind of the mentality that the disciples are like, oh, shoot, even this awesome person. I mean, the whole point is we're supposed to offer everything, our whole hearts. But the rich young ruler has not done that. So the way he's going about it is earning, about accomplishing the commandments, right? You could say he's just going corporate with religion, right? He's just trying to go up the ranks, but he's never satisfied because there's always something more. And Jesus just pierces the one thing that he has not been able to give up on. And in this case, it's his money, right? It's really, I'm sure he's been tithing the 10%. I'm sure he's been giving very generously, all that. But really, when even for us, when we tithe, when we give, it's really, we're offering, we have to recognize 100% belongs to God. But graciously, God is only asking for that 10%. And that 10% is just a reflection of our understanding and appreciation that 100% is his. So if we go to verse 27, again, the disciples are like astonished. So Peter's kind of responding to Jesus and says, well, okay, even the rich young ruler who does all this, and yes, he can't give up those you know, sell his property and possessions and give to the poor. So what do we get? You know, we've, you know, given up everything, but what do we get? So their outlook is not so well. But Jesus actually gives them a pretty good response. He says, you know, oh, you 12 disciples, you've given up everything. You know, you'll have a special seat in heaven and sit on 12 thrones. And then he also says, you know, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers for my name's sake will receive many times as much. And I'm sure the disciples are like, great, awesome, multitudes of blessing. And then Jesus says, first will be last, last will be first. And they're probably like, I'm pretty sure the disciples didn't understand what that meant. So that they're like, yes, you know, what do we always say? Double portion, triple portion, multiply, awesome. First will be last, last will be first. What? And as a result, Jesus shares about the parable of the field workers. And in this parable, I'm just going to low on time, so really just summarize. You know, different people receive a job to work in the fields at different times of the day. You know, one at the very beginning of the day, you know, midday, late evening, and then late, late, late. And they all receive and agree to work and get paid whatever's decided. And in the end, as each person comes up, everyone gets paid the same thing. Totally unfair, it seems, right? You know, if you had colleagues and they're doing a fraction of the work but getting paid the same amount as you, you'd probably be pretty upset. Some of you are probably upset that that may or may not be happening. And again, at the end of it, same line, first shall be last, last shall be first. And for this parable, part of it has to do with salvation, right? And we've seen it, you know, with the thief who's beside Jesus in that, you know, few minutes that they're together, maybe more than that, 15 minutes that they're together, he confesses, and Jesus, okay, you receive salvation. For some of us, you know, we've been faithful all our lives, 30 years, or maybe at the end of your life, you've been faithful for 100 years, and some will be faithful for 1 year, right? They've been giving and serving and tithing for 1 year, but the reward is the same, right? And but more than that, I feel like when he says, first shall be last, last shall be first, it's not just about salvation. It's talking about the kingdom. I call it kingdom economics. And what Jesus is teaching us is everything you think is actually upside down, right? And we see that with the woman who offers, the poor widow who offers two coppers. You could say in the world, she is last. But then Jesus, as he shares that story of her giving, she's first. And as he talks about even himself later, you know, he's the Messiah, he's the King. And he says, I did not come to serve, but to serve last, right? And he's just saying, everything you know, every you think is, whoop, first will be last, last will be first. And as Ricky comes up, I want to just focus back on the first statement in Matthew 19. Or Jesus' first response to the rich young ruler. There is only one who is good. There is only one who is good. So we need to just fix our eyes on the one who is good, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Fix our eyes on God. And I think that's part of that kingdom economics, which is grace, right? Where we receive what is not what we deserve. We receive what we don't deserve. And when we are able to receive grace, then hopefully our response is not earning. Is what can I do? What can I do to attain eternal life? What can I do to get more? What can I do to be more blessed? Right? But instead, because we received this grace that we don't deserve, we just respond. What I mean is, we respond, and God, how may it please you? Not how I can earn more, but because of His unconditional love, His unconditional acceptance, because we are sons and daughters, we can just respond in worship. So as Ricky leads us, I encourage you, all those questions that we have in life, job, relationships, house church, you know, challenges in our life, God cares about those things. He cares. But let's just submit those things first. Trust that God will take care of them. And let's just go back and seek the one who is good and seek how we can please Him as well.
All I have within.
I just saw this video online on my way here, and it shared this, I guess, the story of this teacher. And this teacher was teaching his primary school class, or little kids, and he held up a $20 bill and said, "Who wants it?" And then all the kids put their hands up. Then he folded it in half. He folded this perfect, crisp $20 bill in half and creased it. And he said, "Okay, now there's a crease in this. Who still wants it?" And all the kids put up their hand. And then he crumpled it up into a ball. And then he said, "Who wants it?" All the kids still put their up. And then he threw it on the floor, and he jumped on it and trampled on it, and then picked it back up and said, "Who still wants it?" And they all put their hands up. And then he asked, why do I still want it, even though I've creased it, even though I've crumpled it, even though I've trampled on it?" And they said, "Oh, well, it's still, even though you've done all this stuff to it, it's still worth $20. And he responded and said, "This is a good life lesson. Even for you in your life, no matter what happens, no matter your circumstances, no matter if people trample upon you, accuse you, if things don't go your way, your value is the same. And as sons and daughters of Christ, of the Father, our value doesn't change, right? We are fully loved by Him. So if you're like the rich young ruler, and despite everything you have, and despite everything you know, and you still feel there's something lacking," because that's what his response is, "What am I still lacking?" If you still feel there's something lacking, why don't we just take this moment, just have a conversation with God, and ask Him what's going on. Ask for revelation as to what's going on inside. Because in the end, if looking at the rich young ruler's story, there's nothing wrong with God or His ways, right? It had to do with what was going on inside the rich young ruler's heart. And in the end, it was revealed to him what was going on in his heart. And I'm hopeful that, you know, you receive that revelation, and sometimes initially it's quite bitter and something you really don't like, but hopefully you come back, and through that lacking, you would just submit those things. So let's take that time. Yes, Father, Lord, we just, we know that You're the one who is good, and You're the one who can really satisfy us. not the things of this world, not our works, our careers, even relationships, God. Even, you know, as I confess, not even my wife and or my daughter can satisfy me completely. Only you can, Lord. But we just confess with our mouths and our heart that we are weak, Lord. Even though we know this, it's difficult. It's hard. So we ask for your help. Ask for your strength, Lord, to really just forego the things of this world, filling our time with things that really have no eternal value, but we take that time to seek after you, Lord. Create an insatiable hunger in us, Lord. We even just offer our circumstances to you, Lord, that would cause us to be drawn to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are an active God, a God who's pursuing us, a God who is working behind the scenes, always at work, as we learned in EG. Thank you, Lord. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to our slides. If we could cover those people of our community with cancer and recovery through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for full healing, for strength in this time. Let's also cover our community, friends and family, loved ones who are sick, but also are in need of salvation. Let's pray for just people to come into their life, dreams, visions, whatever it takes. And for those loved ones also to have the discernment and courage of when to share. Let's also cover our community, those who are suffering from infirmities, for full restoration, for them to not accept or embrace their illnesses, and that they would continue to step out in faith for healing. Let's pray for community members who are looking for work. Pray for open doors, that they maximize this opportunity to really draw near to God. Let's go to our Friday prayer focuses. Let's cover missions first. Let's cover Singapore, SPSG, and Pastor Sam Kim and his family. Let's pray for our Indonesia plant, SP Indonesia, Spin. Let's pray for Pastor Salamat and the upcoming Kupang trip. Let's cover our local outreach ministries, Igape, Homi, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, Recreation, and as it pertains to today, that these ministries could really point to the one who is good and reveal to the people his love, his goodness. Pray for Alpha. Let's pray for Alpha graduates, the new believers, to be on fire for their baptism this Sunday, that they would really get plugged in with GIC and House Church and just the community. It'd be a smooth transition. And yeah. Pray for today's evening activities, SPU, IP, as well as EG this weekend. Cover the house churches tonight, McCain House Church and Mick Robinson. Let's pray for the leaders, that God would just use them and speak to them of as to how to lead their house church, lead them to God's heart, and pray for good unity and koinonia during the time. We also just pray for this Sunday, Baptism Sunday. Let's pray for all the, I guess, candidates who are being baptized. Let's pray for just that, you know, in that time of baptism, that they can just testify, not have it focused on themselves, even though they're, I'm sure, nervous and all that, but that they can really testify and focus on God and share about the goodness in their lives. Let's pray for just so much love from the community, an outpouring of love onto them. And most of all is just, you know, God's love would really fill the sanctuary up during that time. Father, we just thank you for today, this time, and even just through as we continue to worship you and just through today's devotional, I pray that just your goodness would really settle in our hearts, God, your goodness of how good you are, that the way you see us as sons and daughters, the way you value us, God, through your love, and how you're for us and not against us. All your goodness, God, that we would carry that with us today, Lord. So as we face this world, you know, we would face it with faith and optimism, and that, you know, that faith and optimism and love would touch those around us, Lord, that we could be the salt and the light, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. I just pray blessing over everyone here today, Lord, that they would be able to receive all the blessings that you have in store and join you in what you're doing to please you, God. And I just pray for your blessing, that you would bless our spirit to connect to the Holy Spirit and lead us in our body and our soul. We thank you, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please continue to do your quiet time with God and have a great day.